Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. River Valley is a group of people seeking to connect to Jesus and connect to each other. And we're excited that you're here. Whether you're listening at home, on the job, maybe at the gym, in the car, wherever you're joining us, I hope that you'll open up your heart, open up your mind, and receive a fresh word from the Lord today. Enjoy the message.
So we're continuing our series called Suit Up as we look at the armor of God. And today, especially, we're going to look at the belt of truth. Let me give you how this works out. October 30th, 1938, families all across America tuned in to CBS Radio to hear this man, Orson Welles. And CBS Radio at that time had an hour variety show. They would sing songs, do skits. And as they began to do that, it started out as any normal service. They told you that it was brought to you by the Majestic Theater and almost commercial free because of their generosity. So they started out with their first song. In a few minutes, though, the song was interrupted. And they said, we're sorry to interrupt this, but some of our astronomers have noticed some explosions on the planet of Mars. And so we're concerned about this. We're going to keep you up to date. We've also had an explosion at a farm in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. And so we're going to send out a reporter out there to find out what is going on. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. So a couple more songs later, they broke in again and said, we're now on the scene in Grover's Mill, New Jersey, with our on-the-scene reporter. And he said, I've got the farmer here. He named his name and saw an explosion on his land, came out to it. There's a large crater in the middle of this pasture. What did you see? And the farmer starts to explain it. And then all of a sudden they said, wait, something's coming. Something's coming out of this crater. It's a machine. It's opening up. Men are walking out. Wait. They are shooting people with a heat ray and began to kill people with this heat ray. And you can hear this background, scream, and you could hear the woo-woo-woo of the heat ray. And people were petrified. And then he says, what are they? What? No, no, no. And all of a sudden it goes, dead. They go back to music, which is exactly what you should do in a national crisis. And so they go back to another song and they break in a little bit later. And they say, the machines that are war machines that popped up in Grover's Mill, New Jersey, are now entering Manhattan. We've got a reporter on the roof of a building. What do you see? And he says, I see the war machines coming down the streets. Poison gas is emanating out from these machines. People are coming outside to see what the sounds are, and they are falling over dead. And you can hear it in the background. And they're listening to this, and they say, oh no. And they say, wait, the gas is coming to us, run. And then they hear, oh. And then they say, now our first commercial break. And they break for a commercial, which is my favorite part of this, where they break from this national tragedy and they say, oh, Kellogg's cereal is good and good for you. So sure, it's the end of the world, but until you're dead, eat Kellogg's. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. So they come back and they say, there are now, the American military has responded, and they have these background noises of, and the war machines from the planet of Mars are now evaporating our tanks and our artillery and then Orson Welles gets on and he tells this elongated story for the rest of the time of how the Martians came and they were living amongst us and they were defeating us until the microbes that we carry in our bodies poisoned them and they died. And at the very end, he said, this is brought to you kind of like someone jumping out of you at Halloween and going, boo. And then they end the program. It was all based on H.G. Wells' book, The War of the World, which was published in 1897. But people at this time didn't know that that's what it was. Many people thought that we were literally being attacked by Martians from outer space, and there was a war going on, and we were losing, and that this man who's now having to answer to the FCC the very next day is doing that. Let me show you what the newspapers said. The New York Times the next day, radio listeners in panic, taking war drama as fact. Now, the radio station was not lying. They weren't trying to lie. They were trying to do a fictitious summary of a book for entertainment since it was Halloween. But even though they weren't trying to lie, the people believed it, and many people panicked greatly and were gathering things up and were fleeing into the woods. And so it caused, what they did, it caused deception. people were deceived. They believed what they heard, and they acted as if it was true. And so today, as we look at the first piece of the armor of God, we're going to look at the belt of truth. And we're going to decide today, and we're going to discover how we can know what truth is so that you can compare it to a lie. Because the only way to know if someone is lying to you is to actually know the truth and if what they are saying is true. So as we look at the pieces of the armor of God, we're going to study the pieces in much more depth over the next couple of weeks. Today, there's so much I want us to focus on truth. But the pieces of armor, there are four pieces that are defensive in nature. The defensive pieces are what we'll talk about today: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. And the Bible says that we are to take these defensive parts of the armor and stand firm, or take a stand. In other words, we have defensive pieces so that we do not lose ground. Now be careful, the Bible is not talking about in this moment that if you do too many bad things, you'll lose your salvation. That's not true. Jesus says, when you are given salvation, you are like a gift from the Father to him that he puts in his hand, and he holds it, and no one can take you away. So we are not saved by our works, and we do not lose our salvation by works. Jesus holds them. So when he says, be defensive in your stand, what he's saying is, don't lose ground. Don't back up. There's this line moving forward, and you are to take these defensive elements and not lose ground. Stand up so that when the attack comes, see, Satan can't take away your salvation, but if you don't use the defensive weapons right, he can minimize your effectiveness as you lose ground. Now, the offensive weapons are meant to go forward. The offensive weapons are the shoes fit for the gospel, which is evangelism, the sword of spirit, which is the Bible, and praying hands, which is prayer. And so there are three offensive weapons that we are to move forward. Let me give you a leadership principle that is really important, and that is this. Vision is always offensive. Vision is always offensive. That's not church, that's business, that's school, that's every area of life. Vision is offensive. You do not have a vision if you say, let's just circle the wagons and keep the good people in and the bad people out. That's not a vision. A vision is moving forward and taking ground for the kingdom of God. So we have to use the offensive weapons to move forward to reach people for Jesus Christ, like these families that you just saw that say, yes, God has shown me, and we want to move forward in that. Vision is offensive in that way, but vision is always offensive. Offensive in the way that we speak. There will be people that do not like that we give our message the way it is. Think about the Christian message. We are saying, hey, you are caught up in a lie. You have sat on the throne of your own life and you have messed it up. And we are asking you humbly but boldly, get off of the throne of your life and let Jesus sit there. That is offensive. Man, people don't like to hear that. They like to hear that you are a wonderful, special snowflake that God created in his image, and there is only one like you. And we basically say, now you're like everybody else. You messed it up, dude. That's what happened. And so now we want you to give your life to Jesus Christ, because that's what happened to us. So let's talk about this first defensive weapon that really is the center of all, which is truth. Now, the Bible says, put the belt of truth on you. So I'm going to do more systematic theology today, which is a lot of different ideas about truth versus one text that we go deep on. That's what I normally do. But today, there's going to be a lot of text. So I encourage you to take notes. It really does help you remember if you'll take notes there in your bulletin. So number one, Christianity is the foundation of truth. Christianity is the foundation of truth. All truth emanates from who God is. Now, let me walk you through the different elements to show you what I mean, because I want to be very specific. First element, John 14:6 talks about Jesus. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus says that he is the truth. Jesus himself is the truth. And he claims in this verse exclusivity in truth. In other words, the verse doesn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. You can find the Father in just lots of different ways. It's not what it says. All religions are the same. That's not what it says. All roads of goodness lead to God. It's not what it says. Jesus is the truth, and we only come to the Father through Jesus Christ. It is the only way. It's exclusive in nature and is the foundation of Christianity. Second, the Word of God. John 17:7, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We believe that once we are saved, that we believe in the Word of God because that is how we are sanctified. The word sanctification means growth or maturity. We believe in the Word of God that it is absolute truth, that it is God speaking to us. It is not mythology. It is not some kind of ancient religion that has no relevance for today. It is how we know truth. The Bible says that it itself is truth. So Christianity in the form of Jesus and Christianity in the form of growth after Jesus are both held up in Jesus and the Bible. Number three, the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth, so the Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth, comes, what does he do? He guides you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but instead he will speak whatever he hears. He was the one who declared what is to come. I love this verse because this verse helps you. See, the Bible says the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Now, we don't learn math from the Bible. We don't learn math from the Bible, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. So all truth is God's truth. We start with the Bible, but 2 + 2 = 4 is God's truth as well. He holds all truth, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps guide us in this. So it is totally biblical, students, to pray before a test. It is okay, all right? God, help me. Now, be careful that you listen, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will whisper back, you're going to fail. You didn't study. All right, so he's going to help you learn a lesson there. So when I was in seminary, we had this really hard test. It was hard. And so I made a decision that when I walked into class to take a test, I would just not study or, you know, cram at the last minute, because that just kind of fries your mind. So one day we were taking a test, and I just walked in and sat down. And the guy beside me, though, he was freaking out. And he was looking at his notes, and he was, one, two, three, and he was back and forth. And I was like, this guy, you know, his mind is not going to be right. I've got to get him out of this thing that he's going on. So I just looked at him, and I said, dude, you're kind of worried. He's like, how are you so calm? And I looked at him, I said, to be honest, before I take a test, I just go outside and smoke a little crack, and it'll, like, really settles you right down. And he died laughing, man. He died laughing. He closed his book. He said, thank you so much. I was like, dude, you got to break out of that, man. He was like, thank you so much. Now, to be honest with you, I got to be clear here so you're hearing me. Jesus leads us into all truth. Crack cocaine is bad. All right, I was just making a joke. All right, so just so some of you are like, write that down, son. All right, that's important. But Jesus guides us. It's okay to pray for a test. It's okay to pray for a big promotion at work. It's okay to pray when you've got two ways to go. Not good and bad. That's illuminated in the Bible, but good and good. And you don't know which way you should take or what you should do. The Holy Spirit guides us. He says in James that we can ask for wisdom from God, and he gives it to us. Now, Christianity is the foundation of all truth. Some of you will say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Jesus is the only way. I think that there are many ways. Some of you will say, I don't believe in the Bible. I think it's been corrupted by man. Some of you will say, I don't think there's a Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth, and I don't think God has all truth. To you, I would respectfully say, so what? The truth does not need you to believe it in order to be true. It doesn't. We are being taught more and more that you are the center of the universe, and you get to decide what is right for you and what is truth for you. In fact, there's a saying today, what's your truth? It doesn't matter if you accept what I just said is the foundation of all truth. It doesn't matter if you accept it. It's still true. You can tell me, I don't believe that 2 + 2 = 4. I want 2 + 2 to be 5. That doesn't matter. Truth is truth, and God reveals truth to us. So you need to learn to humbly bow and let God unravel your life in such a way that he can show you truth and the true power of it. Let me give you a great example. This is Jesus talking with Pontius Pilate, John 18:37-38. So Pontius Pilate says, you're a king. This is the night before Jesus dies. So you're a king then. And Jesus said, "You say that I am a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this." What does Jesus say? "I have come into the world," why? "To testify to the truth. And everyone who hears and hears the truth listens to my voice." So Jesus says, "I am the truth. I testify to the truth. You can know the truth. And you know you're knowing the truth when you hear my voice and you respond." So what does Pontius Pilate say? What is truth? I really wish Jesus would kind of be sarcastic like me sometimes, to be really honest. So, because if I was answering at that point, what is truth? I'd go, "Dude, I just told you." All right, you're just like, duh. You're like, "Hey, I'm the truth and I speak the truth. And if you listen to me, you're growing in the truth. What is the truth?" Okay, I just said, that's what we live in today. That people hear the truth, they can know the truth, and they simply reject what it is. We have to be careful. It doesn't revolve around what we want or what we think. It revolves around the person and the work of the God of the universe who has revealed truth to us. Be careful. Here's why that's important. Number two, truth is freedom. Truth is freedom. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, Jesus says, "You will know the truth," and then what will the truth do? The truth will set you free. Truth is freedom. Too much today, we are believing a lie that says, if you become a Christian, if you become a biblical Christian and start reading the word and looking at it for yourself and living for Jesus, that they're going to give you the rules and they're going to tell you what you can and can't do and they're going to put you in this prison and you can't have any fun anymore because God doesn't like fun. And so we're going to put you in this prison. It is a lie. It is an absolute lie. You are already in prison. The key is truth. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord, you click and walk out of prison and you experience freedom for the first time. We are being told this so much that in our day, there are certain deceptive lies that we have to believe that if we don't, people are saying, "Well, then you are being bigoted towards me or homophobic towards me or many things." So let me show you where I think we can illustrate this the best in our day. I want to be careful of this because I know many of you have family members, have friends, have close connections to what I want to talk about. But we need to talk about it because it's the most prevalent deception that I see today. And it's the deception of transgenderism. Transgenderism is the idea that you were born with male or female. And the Bible says that's exactly the way God intended it. Genesis 1, verse 27, God says, "He makes them male and female so that they carry the image of God." Jesus made us male or female, whatever it is that we were born as. And as a part of that, we carry the image of God. So males look like God in certain manly respects, and females look like God in female respects. And the different cultures of our world and the different skin tones of our world reflect the image of God in so many varied ways. But we are being told today that if you are born a male, even though that's what God decided, you can now be the God of your own life and you can say, "I don't feel like a male," or I don't want to be a male," or "I want to be expressive in this way." And so, in other words, I can take on some female characteristics. I can wear female clothes. I can put on makeup. I can be soft in some ways that we typically think of as females being. And therefore, I am now a female. Or what's even so much more beyond that is gender fluid today. So now we have to, some people, you have to use pronouns of they and them. In other words, to say, you know, some days I feel like a male or some days I am a male or in some days I am a female and I go back and forth in these ways. And it is a deception. The Bible says, if we take the Bible as truth, God made them male and female. Now, so when we take a step back, look, this is one that I think is very easily seen, to be honest. I think we've gotten so caught up in our culture that it's hard because of the deception of other people. But if you take a step back, you have to recognize, even if you're not a biblicist, even if you're not a Christian, to say, God made them male and female. They can change characteristics, they can do certain things, but in the end of the day, they're male or female. And you can't decide back and forth. It is the sovereign choice of God who you were born as, where you were born, and when you were born. And he has a purpose for that. And you are missing out on what God has for you in this. Now, many of you are working through this with family members, working through this with people. And we want to be really, really sensitive and thoughtful in how we respond to people who are transgender. And so if that's you or someone that you know, listen, you need to understand, it's not like every week, this is your first week here, it's not like every week we're like, let's talk about this again, all right? Or if it's not your sin, don't worry, I'll get to your sin soon enough. Take some notes, all right? Because truly, man, we grow when we accept truth in our lives. And so we need to be really careful in how we deal with that, to do our very best to maintain a relationship with that person while also not denying the biblical truth. And there is a tension there. And my conjecture is that some of us, to maintain the relationship, we have abandoned the biblical truth. It's not a smart move. It's not a wise thing to do. To back up and say, I can hold these things in tension, but I need to make sure and say, I love you so much, but I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. I love who He is, and I want to bring those two things together. It doesn't mean every time that you're with someone who's struggling in this way that you have to bring it up. It does mean that you have to have real discussions and that there ought to be some kind of boundary where you know that crossing that boundary is giving in to sin and allowing sin to happen. The biblical word for it is foolish. It's foolish. You were born the way that you were born, and you were born beautiful in the image of God. Absolutely. You can show some of who He is just by the look that you have, and the height that you have, and the weight that you have, the skin color that you have, and yes, the gender that you have shows the glory of God. The truth sets free. Don't live in a lie. It is a prison that you don't want to be in. Number three, we grow by learning, believing, and practicing the truth. Stop right, look at this right here because it's really important. You've got to learn the truth. You might not know all of the truth, and that's okay. But as you learn new truths, that God presents new truths to you, then you've got to absorb those, and you've got to say, okay, that's a truth. Now I choose to believe it, but not just believe it. I actually practice it. I actually go and do something with that. Let me show you how it works out biblically. Psalm chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. Bible says, make your ways known to me, Lord. I want to know who you are. Teach me your paths. How does he do that? Guide me into all your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. So God gives us salvation and then he guides us into truth. So the more truth that you know and the more truth that you believe and the more truth that you practice, the freer that you are. The more mature in Jesus Christ as you are. And it's okay from time to time to, you know, you come to a sermon, you're like, I didn't know that. This is new information to me. Man, I didn't know I was in sin. I didn't know that this was against God's word. I truly didn't know. Okay, now you do. And now we internalize it and we truly believe it. But we don't just believe it. We actually practice it. My guess is a lot of you are like, yeah, the Bible's the word of God. Yeah, you know, America. I mean, you're just like, yeah, you know, it's great. Did you open your Bible this week? It's different, isn't it? Not as much clapping on that one, is it? Man, we've got to practice that. God, I don't want to just come in on the Sundays that I'm here and hear the pastor give us the word of God. I want to grow in the word of God in my own life, in my own spirituality. I want to open it up for myself and see how that works and see how I can grow in that. Some of you would honestly say, I don't know how. That's a fantastic coincidence because guess what we're starting tonight? Tonight is the connections class. And we will teach you the exact method that someone knocked on my door and said, God sent me to your house to teach you how to read the Bible. We'll teach you the exact way that God taught me how to read the Bible. We want to help you in this, but you've got to embrace truth, that the Bible says that it is truth, and through it we grow and are matured. Sanctify me by the truth of your word is truth. So we've got to learn to internalize and practice these things. If you come today and you came in any sort of fashion and saying, he's welcome to talk about this or this or this or this, but don't talk about this. Those are the areas that God wants to say, let me show you truth in these areas. Let me show you how to deal with you in these areas so that you can grow and truly be set free. Number four, we must share the truth. We must share the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, says, therefore, put away lying. So it says, first of all, quit lying. Quit deceiving. There are people here that there are people, if you get into lying, it is such a strange habit that when you become a liar and you start to lie, you lie all the time for things that are unnecessary. You lie when the truth would be actually better. You get used to lying all the time. Be careful. If that's you, then put away lying. Every time you lie, say, you know what? I'm sorry. I got to come back. That was deception. I was trying to lie. I wanted you to think good of me, or I didn't want you to get in trouble, and I'm sorry. And you need to put away lying. How do you do that? You don't just say, quit lying. Quit it, quit it, quit it. No. You say, you speak the truth. You begin to let the truth come in you and come out of you and drive out the deception and the lies. So it's not that you just say, I'm not going to sin anymore. No, I'm going to take on the truth in my life, and it's going to push out these ways that I'm against God's word. And then the Bible says something that I really, really don't like. And so this is what it says, put away lying and speak the truth, each one to his neighbor. Now, honestly, I'm sure I lie, but lying is not like one of those things that trips me up a lot. So, all right, but let me show you what does. It's speaking the truth to your neighbor. I am not good at when someone tells me something that I know is wrong or they're making. I'm not good at going, hey, you need to think about that. I'm not good at that. I tend to shy away from that because you know what it is? It's pride in that I want people to like me. It's a sin. But I have a real tendency and I can't tell you that I've got so many examples in my mind of people at River Valley, well, we're going to do this and this. And in my mind, I'm going, well, good luck with that. That sounds crazy. And I don't say anything and they go off and they live out and it falls apart. And I knew it was. I knew it was against the word of God. I mean, I've got some examples of that in my mind. And so many times this verse, hey, tell them the truth. Go, listen, look, I don't want to be all up in your grill. That's really not my style. But what you're about to do is a bad decision. It's a bad decision. And you need to truly think about it before you find out this path and go down this path. I have done this sometimes. I don't always shy away. I tend to shy away, and sometimes I push myself through. And I have more than one person that I've said to them, if they say, well, I'm going to do it. And I say, listen, I want you to know this is what I think will happen. And when it happens to you, come back, because I don't want you to think that you're ever going to hear from me. I told you so. You're going to hear from me. I love you. Let's find forgiveness and healing in this area. But what I don't do enough is I just say, well, good luck with that, and let them live their life. I don't do this well. We need to share the truth. There are moments, there are some of you that truly need to have one pertinent conversation with someone that you know is in sin. You have acted like it doesn't exist. You have worn blinders. You acted like, and they are heading for a road of destruction. And the Bible says we ought to stand in the road and go, look, I love you either way, but I'm standing here right now saying, please turn around. This is a bad road. And we sometimes need to share that truth. Now, be very careful in doing that. There are people who really agree, in our day, there are people who really agree with what I'm saying today, but they love to use it as a mallet to beat people up. They love the truth, like, and then they're like, I don't know why no one comes to church, you know, like, I mean, you know, it's crazy. Be careful with that. Be careful. Jesus was amazing. Jesus could speak about sin to people, yet they were drawn to him. They're like, make sure and invite Jesus to the party. I love him. And then Jesus would walk around and go, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, it's great. There was something about Jesus that he could confront sin and still people loved him. And I want that spirit in my life, don't you? Like, I want it in my life. Not to be an arrogant jerk that thunders down on people, but also not to be a huge wiener that doesn't say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. We got to find a balance in the middle. Some of you, you're like, I can't believe you. Write that down. That's funny. Man, we have to find this ground. And this is one that I'm really struggling through and thinking about myself and how it relates to people. So here's what I'd like for us to do today. I'd like for us to pray. And we're going to pray through these verses on truth. But I'm going to start with those of you who are dealing with family or friend or coworker or neighbor dynamics that are really tense in this way. And you've been confronted by trying to find a way to share this truth. And I'm going to start and I'm going to pray over you. And I'm going to lead us through the rest of the verses. So right where you are, just bow your heads. Lord, there are people in this room and they are confronted. They love you and they love the word of God. But they also love their friends or their family or their coworkers or their neighbors that aren't living for you. And the tension of keeping that relationship and also standing up for the word of God in their life. There's a tension there. And God, each individual situation is different. Sometimes with family members, it's harder because there's so much baggage from the past. Sometimes with friends, there's pressure to conform because you're afraid, you know, your friend group will kick you out. Sometimes with coworkers, like in our day, you're worried about getting in trouble. God, there is a way for you to do both in our life. I pray over these individual situations. Help us to speak the truth in love. Give us the spirit of Jesus who could confront sin, yet in doing so was so winsome in drawing people to himself. God, give us that spirit, we ask. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Every funeral I've ever preached, that's the verse I use. Because when people are facing death, even, you know, the death of a loved one, it's that moment where they have to say, you know what, I'm going to die myself. And so today I want to ask you, do you know the truth of Jesus? Have you come to the Father through Jesus Christ? If not, Jesus is the only way. Don't promise him good works or better behavior. Don't think that, you know, it's this baptism or anything else. This is just people have already done what we're asking you today, to declare that Jesus is the Lord of your life, in complete control, to declare that he died on the cross for you, that he was buried and he was resurrected. If you call out to truth, Jesus will set you free. The Bible says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Do you have a consistent Bible time where you are growing in your faith yourself? Not just on Sundays where I'm feeding it to you, but where you are learning to be a self-feeder. And declare to Jesus, if you don't have that, God, I want that in my life. You're probably going to have to clear out some things in order to get there. Don't squeeze Jesus in. If you don't know how, tonight at 6 o'clock, our connections class starts and we'll walk you through those things. The Holy Spirit says he is the spirit of truth in John 16:13. He'll guide us into all truth. Some of you have decisions on the horizon. Ask God to give you truth in those moments. It's right or left. It's not good or bad. What do you want from me, Jesus? Give me wisdom and clarity in how to do that. The Bible says the truth will set you free. Are you addicted? Are you caught up in a sin that you cannot get free of? You can willpower a while, but you know it comes back. And you want to be free, not just that you're not doing it anymore, but you're not even tempted because you know the grandeur of Jesus is better. And you run to Jesus when that temptation comes until one day it just doesn't come anymore. Pray over that area of your life. God, set me free. Do not let me believe a lie. This is just the way I am. Or this is just the way I was raised. Or this is just how my people do it. God, give me freedom in Christ. You will grow by knowing the truth in your knowledge, in your believing, in your practice. Is there anything that the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door, on the door of your heart right now and saying, you need to acknowledge this is true? And finally, we are to share the truth with our neighbors. Put away lying, but speak the truth, each to his own neighbor. Do you need to have a conversation about truth with someone? Pray for God to give you insight into how that should happen, when that you can control the circumstances. Father, we believe today that you are divinely appointing us to go out and be ambassadors of truth, not in a harsh, judgmental way, God, but to bring people into the love that we have in River Valley through Christ Jesus. Father, we praise you for that, and we praise you for how you are using the truth in our lives. God, do not let us become offended today by the truth and walk away. Say, he can't talk about that to me. Help us to embrace the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I pray that the message gave you hope, that you were inspired, you were challenged. And I want to also encourage you that if you'd like to join us live, you can go to myrivervalley.church or download the River Valley app for more info about service times, directions, and ministries. And thank you for giving. Your generosity and how you serve as our church family is so important to us. You are helping reach people for the gospel of Jesus. You can go to myrivervalley.church/give for more details there as well. We'll see you next week.